Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you here, and welcome for those people that are online, because I'm sure people are watching that aren't here today. We have small numbers today, but that's okay. We're thankful to have Joel here today, and we have a couple of announcements. Adult Sunday School, which we need to get back into, 9:30. We're just going through our daily bread for the week. Then we have Gleaners, and every Wednesday, and be here by 10:55, and at 11 o'clock they open it up for food, and it doesn't last long, so we're thankful that we can help them. And if you know somebody that's in need, be sure and come give them our phone number, because they check it all the time. We have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, and it's all on Zoom, or you can just be on the phone if you want. So go to our website and connect. It's really great. And then next Sunday is our potluck Sunday, first Sunday of September, and we're going to have a barbecue. So bring treats and side dishes, and we'll have hot dogs and hamburgers to have along with it. So it should be fun. Oh, yeah, if we're going to go to retreat, be sure and give me the registration. So that's important. Huh? Yeah, the women's state retreat. And we got to pray that they don't get smoked or burnt out. What? It is still closed right now, yeah. But we're praying it'll be open by the 15th. So... White Branch is really a fun camp. I love White Branch. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just are so thankful for that we have this house that we can come and just worship you, Lord. And we just pray for all of those that are missing today with sickness, with anything that's not capable of letting them be here, Lord. We just lift them up to you and just pray for their safety. We pray for their healing. Lord, we just pray for your mighty touch. We just ask that you bless Joel as he shares what you have put on his heart. And we just ask that you just welcome our worship with open arms and open ears, Lord, as we just come and forget about everything else and just praise your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these wonderful people that we get the privilege of worshiping together. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we're going to go to our call to worship, and it's Psalms 25:5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. So we're going to start with This Is Amazing Grace. So we have fewer numbers, so you get to sing loud. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the low earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. That's why we praise him. He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living word, our life. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show his power and might. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down, worship this King, because he gave his everything. Because he gave his everything. He came to live again in us. He came to be our conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones his love. He came to go prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. Because he gave his everything. Because he gave his everything. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship.
worship this game. Cause he gave his everything. Cause he gave his everything.
Ten thousand reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Power of your love.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I've found in you. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of Let your love surround me, drink me near, draw me to your side, and as I wake, I'll rise up like thee. And I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face. Knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day. In the power of your love, hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagles, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. And I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Amen. You may be seated.
We pray, O Lord, right now that you bless the giver as we are joyfully giving unto you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. We want to keep praise and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Time for praises and prayer request. I'm going to open up with a praise that some of you already know, that Ivan and Sarah was driving over to see Fred and Carolyn, and was taking Carolyn a coffee because she hadn't been out to Dutch Brothers. She has COVID. Both of them have COVID. Fred and Carolyn, excuse me. And turning in there, she got hit. And results were Claire got a mild concussion and whiplash. Landon was kind of shook up. as we know Landon is. And anyway, they got home last night. Ivan transported them later, transported Claire to the hospital, complaining that the bright headlights were really hurting her eyes really bad. So got her to the hospital, got her calmed down, didn't get home till about 1:30 this morning. So anyway, they cover the prayers. They're praising God that it could have been a lot worse. She was wearing a seatbelt, so she was in tight. She could have been really damaged a lot worse, but the family is okay at this moment. So, any other prayer concerns or praises? Yep, Fred and Carolyn are still, Donna shared that Pastor Teresa is still congested, staying home with the COVID. Fred and Carolyn are same with COVID. Any others? Yes, Josh. Headaches? Schizophrenia. Awesome. Josh shared that he's having some issues with schizophrenia, and we just love you, Josh, and we're just praying for you. We just love your heart. Last Sunday, Josh came and prayed with me individually for the issues that I'm having with my car, and I just want to say, Josh, God bless you. You're a saint. Phyllis. Amen. Phyllis shared a praise. She is happy. She is healed. She's feeling great, and we are excited that you're feeling great. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We're thankful to see Vicki today. We're very, very thankful. I wanted to share a praise that Rhonda was sharing with me about her granddaughters. Emily and Grace. I wrote these down, by the way, Rhonda. And Grace is doing well. The situation is genetic, I was told, and it looks like the things that she's been going through with epilepsy is going to be outgrows it eventually, right? Amen. So that's a praise. And Emily has allergies to dog dander, and that's through allergy shots and allergy protection for little Emily. Also, you brought up, Pastor Joel, last Sunday you brought up the Hawaii people. And we need to really lift these people up with this terrible, terrible fire that's gone through there. They found 100 people alive that were on the list of missing in action. So that's a praise. They're still finding some remains. But we need to lift up those families, lift up the Hawaiian people that are mostly there. And so, yes, and friends of yours, too, acquaintances of yours have lost, too. Are there any others? All right. Oh, yes. All right. Any other requests? Yes, Don has shared with Camp White Branch is still evacuated. This is the last 2-day report that they're praying desperately that the wildfire that's just there by McKenzie Bridge gets smothered and that they can get the camp back open. The ladies would like to get down there too. And so we want to pray for that. Camp White Branch is where our youth camp is. We can fill us down by McKenzie Pass. Yes. Yeah. Lookout Fire, is that what it's called? Okay. Yes, sir. Oh, I've heard of him. Pastor Joel has shared that her son Jeff is graduating with his master's degree from George Fox here on May 2nd. And Joel reported that he's doing outstandingly well. Jeff called me and said, "It's wickedly hot back here, Dad. Wickedly hot with humidity of 95%. I don't know. It was terrible. You wringing wet just getting up out of your bed." Anyway, that's an illustration. You had something.
My heart is full today. I think I'm going to be coming this year.
Yeah, we're so thankful that Rhonda made it back safely and the weather wasn't terrible down there in San Diego area. Jeremy, we need rain. We do. We need God's refreshing rain. All right. So, yes, and there's a fire out on Oxbow Reservoir, the main water supply for Portland. There's a fire up in the watershed that started by lightning. So I'm going to whip that up in prayer. And those firefighters, wherever they are, there's lots of fires going around in our nation and in Canada too. So we're going to lift up those that are firefighters. All right. God, I want to first praise you, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord. I want to praise you, Lord, that you are God. You're God that loves us, that cares for us, that cares for little Claire, that cares for the people in Hawaii, that cares for our son Jeff as he's continuing his school, that cares for Judy. Judy Hessel Gesser's sister-in-law, Lord. That cares that you brought Vicky home with us here, God. Thank you. That cares, Father God, for Camp White Branch, God. That cares for the Hawaiian people, Lord. That cares for Rhonda's grandchildren, Grace and Emily. For Josh, Lord. You care, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're touching Pastor Teresa. We miss her so much. Continue healing her and Fred Carolyn also. Be with them, Father God. Be with Levina, God. Be with Donna's nephew, David Reese's family, Golasa David, and that young family, Lord. Be with them, Father God. God, we are so blessed by Mike and and Kim Aaron, Lord. We miss them today, Lord. Be with them, Lord. Be with Mike and Pam, Josh's cousin, Lord. Be with them, Lord. In your blessed name, we want to give you all the praise and glory right now in the name of Jesus and claim the victory in you. Bless Joel as he gives us the message that you've placed upon his heart right now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Well, it's good to see you all this morning. Just like a bad penny, I keep showing up. I noticed that there are no children here this morning, and so there's no children's message, but there was one children's message a long, long time ago that I heard that I just want to share with all of you. Sometimes going through times of struggle or suffering is actually meant to make us strong. You want to say something? We will when I'm done. I appreciate it, though. One of the illustrations that this youth pastor made, this children's pastor made, was realizing that the lifestyle of suffering, the lifestyle of challenge, is something that we all need to go through. And he used the example of a whale. Whales are huge, even larger than me. They are huge. They swim around all of the day looking for food because the food that they eat is actually very, very small. There's a particular type of whale, and of course I've slept at least once since I heard this, but they eat shrimp. Not a bad diet, in my opinion, but you consider how big a whale is and that they eat shrimp. How many shrimp do you have to fill yourself up? Then think about how many shrimp the whale has to eat to fill him or her up. They struggle. They suffer. They have this challenge of foraging for food at the bottom of the ocean. And that's just to maintain life. The same is true with us. There are times we go through suffering, illnesses, loss of loved ones, challenges in relationship, challenges financially, challenges just sometimes even getting out of our beds in the morning. I don't know about all of you, but when I get out of bed, I sound like Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, pop. I don't know if any of you have had this experience, but there was one time I pulled a muscle rolling over. It's a challenge, y'all, and it's a challenge that we need to live through. Don't focus on our pain. Don't focus on our suffering. Focusing on what is behind. What does the Lord have in store for you? And maybe he'll bless us all with a nice shrimp meal. Josh? Did you want to pray, or did you, what would you like me to pray? All right. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this moment when we could celebrate the children. Even though they're not here, Father, we pray for health and blessing upon them. We pray that they would grow up to be godly men and women. We pray right now that there would be a special love that you grow in their hearts, that they would feel a special closeness with you, even though perhaps they're not saved yet, Lord, just that they know you. Because we know if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Father, we claim that promise. Even in the challenge of our society today, when it appears that all of our kids are going, just being scattered like pouring a bag of marbles and watching them go. So, Father, we just claim these hearts for you. We ask right now that you would build a special love in them. Encourage them now wherever they are. Father, we also pray for those who are here present and those who are watching online. We pray, Lord, that you just bless their hearts and bless their minds as they're going through whatever struggles they're going through. Father, we pray right now that they would rejoice in their sufferings. Father, we pray also that it would draw them close to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now, this morning I'm going to preach a little bit differently. I'm still going to preach on the same theme, the concept of relationship that we all need to have with God. But I want to talk about it in just a little bit of a different way. I want to talk about it, what it's like to be in relationship with God as a church. as the body of Christ, perhaps even the body of Christ here in Gales Creek. The first Sunday, if you remember, I talked about how we need to develop that relationship with God. We need to turn inward. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts when we're saved. And we need to make an intentional attempt or an intentional action to turn inward and accept what God is doing in our hearts. We need to develop relationship. We need to hear, and what I preached the second week, we need to hear the voice of God, that we might hear the wisdom of God, and that He would permeate our lives. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've done things wrong, and I think I used the example of Dan Croom. I had Glenna ask me to install a dishwasher and a garbage disposal, and it took me 11 hours. And of course, if you remember Dan Croom's memorial service, I asked Dan, how long does it take him? He said, well, if I do it slowly and carefully, an hour and a half. Sometimes we don't know, we don't have the wisdom of how to do things, and clearly I'm not a handyman, and I'm not offering to help anybody with their home. I'd like you to live indoors. But the reality here is that we need to hear the voice of God, the wisdom of God as He helps us along the path of our lives. The third, we need to realize that the baptism of Jesus is actually a model for our first steps in salvation. We come up out of the water, dead to sin, alive in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and rests upon us. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and takes up residence when we're saved. And then we hear the voice of God. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. And then we hear the most profound thing, especially for those of us who think we've been too bad. With whom I am well pleased. Jesus didn't need the baptism because He lived a sinless life. But He needed to do it to demonstrate the spiritual legal declaration that we were indeed God's sons and daughters. That's the first step in all of our spiritual lives. Okay, so here we are as a congregation. How do we need to move forward? Before I get started with this, I want to point out a study that I've heard several years ago. And that is, the question, I think, of the article was, who is the least prayed for person in the congregation? Say it louder. The pastor. The pastor spends all kinds of times ministering and praying for all of you. And he or she, of course, we all look like Superman. That was for all of you watching online. And so oftentimes we don't look like we need help, but we do need help. We need prayer. We need to be built up in our spiritual lives. We may be going through a spiritual dry spell, and yet we still need to preach from the overflow of the Spirit in our lives so that all of you can grow and be blessed. More on that in a minute. There may be relational challenges that pastors go through. I've known a lot of pastors who, number one, have marital challenges because they spend so much time ministering at the church and not enough time caring for their spouse. The second, and I just recently saw this again as it was, I think it may have been cycling through Facebook, I'm not exactly sure, but they said that 1,500 pastors leave the ministry. And I forgot whether it's every month or every year, but regardless, 1,500 leave the ministry. It's because they're burnt out. They don't have that closeness with Christ that they want. They spend more time working and caring for people in the church than they do working on their own relationship with God. I've been talking about that relationship as vitally important. It's actually the lifeblood of who every single one of us is. And I have to be honest, I need it more and more. I'm hearing God's voice all the time, but in the midst of it, I still feel challenges of how can I live the life that Christ has called me to? I still have bad attitudes. Okay, just to have everyone, you don't have to confess this, but this morning on my way out here, there was this individual driver come racing up the fast lane, and it was two lanes, so it was after North Plains. And this individual pulled in front of me and slowed down, and I actually had to stomp on the brake. The sad thing is, moments later, he got back in the fast lane and headed off, and I'm thinking, what a jerk. I have bad attitudes. We all have places where we fall short, regardless of where they are, no matter if they're extreme or just momentary negative reactions to life itself. And I just pray the blessing on that individual. Thank you for giving me a chance to suffer. But the reality here is that you need to be praying for your pastor, not just for her healing, which I think we need to do more and more, but we also need to pray for her spiritual growth. She may be a wonderfully talented, gifted, called individual to be your pastor, but she continually needs to grow in Christ so that she continue to minister with power and strength and in a way that actually brings you up into newness of life. Do we realize that there's newness of life every day? His blessings are new every morning. That's because of the relationship. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Whew. I love it when the Lord gives me chills. I got chills. Oh, let's not get a grease. All right. This morning, our scripture is Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 11. And I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard, the 1995 version. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature with which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every kind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking in truth and love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So we need to realize that in the midst of all of this, God has a plan. He's placed callings on people's lives, a calling to be an apostle, a calling to be a prophet, a calling to be an evangelist, a calling to be a pastor and a teacher. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there in Christendom today who like to call themselves apostles. Wow. I pray God's blessing on them, and I hope honestly that they are doing the work of an apostle. But to be honest, personally for me, I see myself as a pastor and as a teacher. I don't need to be up in the high echelons of spiritual callings. I'm very happy to be enjoying life with congregations. But I did want to clarify some things about the five callings. First of all, we have to understand that there is a clash in understandings. There are three cultures that are in the midst of this clash. First, there's the Hebrew culture. The Hebrew culture is the faith that comes out of the Old Testament and focuses on Jesus Christ. Certainly, that is different from a lot of other cultures, even today. The second is the Greek culture, and that's why the New Testament is written in Greek, because that particular culture was the culture of life. That was business. That was relationships. That was the foundation for every Greek knock-knock joke. Greek is life in that community. And then the third is the Roman culture. When the Roman army would conquer a region, conquer a particular people, or conquer a city-state, they would impose that political and military culture on the people of which they'd conquered so that they could all be part of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, as we take a look at, let's start with the apostle, the concept of an apostle. An apostle, I was taught growing up that an apostle was somebody who used to be a disciple and who had an encounter with Christ and now has a unique and special anointing to perhaps be a missionary. They're taking Christ with them as they go. But like I said, we're in a clash of cultures. This, the word apostle, apostolos in Greek, is actually something imposed by the Roman culture. Do we all know that Rome, their Roman army, actually went out and conquered different peoples? All the way up to England. Now, the thing that's really interesting is when you understand that the Roman, I don't want to say tribunal, when the Roman Senate, when they would understand that they had a people conquered, and the Roman army was actually there in that town, they needed to have someone go and establish the Roman Empire in that community. The concept of being an apostle is actually a Roman military idea. He's the one who came and brought the Roman culture to the people so that everything, all the laws that they were under, would be under the laws of Rome. So the apostle came and he brought the culture, the law, the military element of the conquering kingdom. Now, wait a minute. Paul said he was an apostle. When Paul would go on his journeys and he would establish churches in those different towns, Ephesus, Colossae, Thessalonica, maybe even Rome. He would come and he would establish the culture of the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He would come and he would bring the things that he had learned in the Spirit. And when the churches were established, they would just explode. They would just completely be immersed in the truth of what God was trying to communicate in the Old Testament and how it was changed and blessed by Jesus Christ. One of the things I find really interesting is if you take a look at the book of 1 Thessalonians, it talks about Paul coming and that the individuals in the church were changed. They were changed by knowing the Holy Spirit. They were changed by the power of God. And they were changed by having this absolute belief that everything that they learned was true. And that began to permeate their lives. And if you take a look at the end of chapter 1 in 1 Thessalonians, you'll discover that in just a short period of time, their lives were changed from worshiping false idols to worshiping the one true God. And their faith was heard everywhere. Their faith was heard everywhere. Now, if you read the book of Acts about this experience, Paul said he was there in Thessalonica for 3 Sabbaths. That means in 3 weeks, maybe possibly 4, I mean, if they showed up on Sunday and they left maybe on Friday before sundown, in that short period of time, this church was established, people began to grow in Christ, and the things that were going on there, signs, wonders, and miracles, because of the Holy Spirit, because of power, we can talk about that some other time. Teresa, I hope you don't stay sick a long time because I'm going to run out of stuff here. But the reality here is that the things that were happening in Thessalonica were so profound that it actually affected the known world. They saw the example of God demonstrated in this church. Now, here's the other hidden part of all of this. And this is, in my opinion, a mistranslation in the Bible. There's the word ecclesia. Does anybody know what ecclesia means? Somebody said something? Nope. It actually has been translated church. Ecclesia, I think they kind of watered it down, or they took for granted the understanding of what the word ecclesia means. And so it's just been labeled church. It's just easier for a word-to-word correspondence from Greek to English. Now, the concept of ecclesia goes along with the Roman concept of being an apostle. When Rome would send an apostle out to a conquered people, they would also send an ecclesia, which is a governing body. And so they began to have their own version of a mini-senate talking about and ruling over the people that they've just conquered to guarantee that the culture of the kingdom of Rome would be established. Okay, so how does that apply to us in Christendom? If they translated ecclesia, the church, and that's a governing body in a particular region. What does that mean? Paul came, established the kingdom of God, established a church, and in that established the kingdom of God, and people began to rise up because of their callings, because of their spiritual giftings, and they began to share the kingdom of God with the cities that they were in. Do you know when a Christian is most powerful? In two particular moments, a Christian is most powerful. First of all, when we're in worship, when we're praising God. Because at the name of Jesus, say it out loud, every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. So when we're in worship, it establishes a particular order. The second thing, when we're the most powerful, is when we are on our knees. When we're in our prayer closet, when we're seeking God for a particular issue. There are lots of issues around us all the time. Do we spend time on our knees? Do we spend time in prayer? God, I am so tired of how they are definitely against you in this particular way, whatever it is. And then we pray. And we let God tell us how we are to pray. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but my mother used to knit. And it was regular that her ball of yarn would get knotted. Anybody have that experience? My mother would often have me and my sister help her unravel this knotted ball of yarn so that she could work on the knots of the yarn to get them all straightened out. Well, the challenges of our lives are like balls of knotted yarn. We need to seek God on how to untie those knots to establish what He's doing in this particular region. That's why the church was established. That's why this particular passage is so profound, because of what ecclesia actually is. The more you pray, the more we're going to see impact for the kingdom of God in Gales Creek and the surrounding area. Remember, I used to harp on prayer a lot? And I'm doing it again. Prayer is the answer, y'all. It's about relationship with Christ. And it's about living that out in such a way that your life becomes profound. That your life becomes an example of what God is doing. I think I've shared this illustration before, but several years ago, when my son Jonathan was 7, he wanted to play Little League Baseball, so we signed all of our kids up, as we always do. And we heard a couple weeks before the beginning of the season that Jonathan's team didn't have a coach or a manager. And so if you don't want your kid on a team with 14 to 16 kids, you're going to coach or manage the team. And so Glenn and we talked about it and said, sure, why not? We haven't got a clue what we're doing. We're going to have a good time, though. And it turned out that we did really well. We actually ended up tied for second, which I thought was great. But the reality of all this was that in Little League Baseball, some of you may not know this, parents like to get involved and yell and scream at each other. They like to cause turmoil. Drama is almost like the subset of Little League Baseball. And so Glenn and I decided we are not going to argue or fight. We're going to stand up for what's right, but we're not going to call names. We're not going to cause all kinds of problems. And if the decision goes against us, we're just going to keep moving forward. There was one particular evening that we were playing a guy who was incredibly manipulative, and he wanted to have things done his way. He had not prepared his kids for when the kids started pitching. We had been using a pitching machine up until that point. And so he kept saying, oh, no, we can't have pitching today. It's just wrong. I mean, I haven't had a chance to do it. Well, the funny thing is that the date of moving from a pitching machine to actual pitching was established before the season started. It should have been a big red letter day on the calendar with stars and fireworks and whatever other things Google likes to put there now. And we said, no, it's not fair to us who actually did our job. And of course, we blew him away that name, which gave me all kinds of satisfaction. But we didn't argue. We didn't fight. We didn't cause drama. The season ended. And the next year, all three of our kids were drafted onto a different team. But Jonathan was drafted onto the team of the guy who was umpiring. About halfway through the season, he came to us and said that he was having a tough time in life and he needs to know of a good church to go to. No, he said, we want to know why you're different. well, that's an open-ended question. And I told this man that Glenn and I are different because we're Christians. And we believe we need to do things right. We need to do things where everybody's in right relationship. And we need to obey the Bible. And then he asked me, do you know of a good church to go to? And so he started attending our church. And it was very interesting to see that his son came to the Lord Jesus Christ shortly after that. This gentleman had gotten in trouble with the court system, and he needed to do something where he was showing that he was making steps forward to change his life. And so he was thrilled because he had grown up a Christian, but he had perhaps strayed. But his eldest son came to Jesus. On Easter morning, we were going to have a baptism service, and we were going to let everybody who had been saved over the last several years come and be baptized in the main service. And so this guy that I was talking to, Jonathan's coach, he invited the family because he wanted his parents to see that his kids were coming to faith and they were going to be baptized. Well, when this young man went up to be baptized, all the other kids in the family, brother and sister and cousins, they went racing up to watch what was it he was doing. And when he was baptized, the kids were just mesmerized. And they went back to Grandpa and said, Grandpa, what did he just do? What was that all about? Why couldn't we go swimming too? And the grandpa said to me, is there any room that we can use where just the family can sit and talk about what just happened? No, go right ahead. Now, they did something that, you know, kind of breaks my heart. They missed potluck that morning. I mean, yeah, pigs in a blanket for Easter, I think that's a call. Anyway, but they went into that room, and the coach's daughter and her look-alike cousin came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of the older brother being baptized, because the coach was seeking out somebody who was different. Now, I don't say that to call attention to myself. I say that to call attention to the fact that we all live a Christian life where we are unique. And it's when people see that uniqueness of God working inside of our lives, of us being different, being honest, being fair, being loving, being caring, not criticizing, not ridiculing. It's when they see that they say, that's what I want. That's somebody I can trust. And it's not me. It's our Lord working through our hearts. And so we need to see ourselves growing and changing, not just as an individual, but as the body of Christ. And so I guess I went down a rabbit trail there, but that's all about the apostle. And of course, the other four are more Greek-oriented. Of course, an evangelist is somebody who has a passion to see the lost saved. A prophet is somebody who speaks the truth, just speaks it forth, or actually has a feeling from the Lord that something else is going to happen and speaks that truth, prophesies that over somebody. Next is being a pastor. It's somebody who has a heart to care for those in the congregation, who wants to see them grow, who wants to see them blessed and touched, who wants to see the hurts drained from their lives, to see them built up. Then you have a teacher who just gets really passionate about the Bible, who really gets excited about the things that God is revealing, has a blessing from the Lord to see how things are actually connecting, to see the larger view of things, and then sharing it with the congregation. These are the five callings, and the callings are special and unique. Let's go on to verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the works of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, I want to adjust this particular translation. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, no comma, for the building up of the body of Christ. I started wondering about this, and I went to the Greek, and I started actually translating that verse myself. I almost called Jeff and made him do it with me. I mean, Jeff and I took his Greek class together, a couple of Greek classes together. But the reality of this is that for the equipping of the saints for the works of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, we have a lot of people in a lot of churches who've been Christians for a long time who've never really been discipled. They've been come to sit in the pews. They've been come to ridicule. They've been come to stir up trouble. Because that's just common. But when you have somebody who is building up people to help disciple, to help people grow, all of a sudden things began to grow, or all of a sudden things began to change because of the growth that's there. We have something special that we need to hold on to. When we have somebody who's hurting, all of a sudden we come alongside and we minister. We build them up in the love of God. We build them up in the love of Christ. Caring for people who are ill, hospitalized. Think back on that parable of the sheep and the goats. All those things that were mentioned. Ministering that particular way. But that's not a complete list. There's all kinds of ways for caring for people. Caring for people. And that is actually what it is to build up the body of Christ. It's how we care. When we become mature, and we'll talk about this in a minute, when we become mature, all of a sudden we realize what our giftings are about and how they apply to the person that's in front of us and the needs that they have. In fact, let's bring that up right now. Until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. All these individuals who, in verse 12, the equipping of the saints for the works of service for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain amazing things, till we have unity of faith. That unity of faith, of course, is, first of all, it's one of the things that we're saved by. We're saved by grace through faith. And it's faith that actually gets us to step out into risk. One of the greatest things that God has blessed us with is to help us realize that the way you spell faith is R-I-S-K. It's when we step out and we risk caring for somebody. It may be at the grocery store. It may be at a restaurant. It may just, well, hopefully you're not driving and trying to care for somebody that's driving next to you. But there's a fear that we all have, I believe, where we're going to be embarrassed, where we're going to feel like we're less of ourselves if we step out and if we try to risk. If we do those things that God has called us to do, by the wisdom of God that He whispers in our ear, talk to this person. I think I may have shared this also with you. But in 2008, the Oregonian came out with a newspaper article that said, "Find the Thai restaurant in your neighborhood. You will love Thai food." And so Glenn and I, we went and we found our Thai restaurant. And unfortunately, the Thai restaurant fell prey to the financial challenges of 2008. They had to close the doors. And so we were searching around for another Thai restaurant. And this was up on 80th and Gleason. And Glenn and I were just having a date night. We were empty nesters at that time. And we were just sitting there having a nice meal. And three attractive late teens, early 20 age girls came in and sat down at a table. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Pray for them." And I thought to myself, "No, I'm here on a date with my wife. I'm not going to go talk to other women. That just seems kind of, is the word sleazy appropriate in that case?" It just kind of felt kind of sleazy. And so I said, "No." And the Holy Spirit said it again. And we finished our meal. And I heard the Holy Spirit say it again, and Glenn said, "I'm going to go pay for the bill, and I'll be with you in a minute." I said, "Great." And I heard the Holy Spirit say it again, "Go pray for these people." And there were three young ladies sitting at a table, and I walked up to them. They all three looked at me as if they were mortified that Humpty Dumpty basically would come up and want to pray for them. And I said, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" And they kind of looked at me, and then one of them probably said, "Sure." And I just prayed, and I just prayed what I heard the Holy Spirit say. And it was praying for protection. And it didn't make sense to me, but I prayed it anyway. And when we were done, all three of those young ladies were just so absolutely thrilled. And as Glenn was already out in the car, parked right in front of the restaurant, I stepped out and I looked. There was a bar here filled with all kinds of sketchy looking characters. There's a bar diagonal across with all kinds of sketchy characters, and they're all out front, and they're smoking things that seem to be a little bit more organic. And then across the way was a convenience store, and there were a bunch of teens that looked a little bit sketchy. And then next was a bunch of guys here at the pool hall right next door. I'm thinking, of all the Thai places that we chose to pick, here's one right in the middle of a very interesting group of people. And all of a sudden I began to realize that these three girls, young women, were probably from Multnomah School of the Bible, up across 82nd, across the street, because that's where the campus is. They probably were trying to escape from cafeteria food. And so they came to this Thai restaurant, and they probably didn't realize just how sketchy things were until they got there and they saw all these people. Like I said, these were attractive young women. And so I prayed. I went and I got in the car and we took off, and I never saw what happened to them. But I'm praying that there were angels protecting them all the way back to campus. We need to hear the voice of God and how he speaks as we're being built up in Christ. What are your giftings? What are your talents? What are your callings? How are you called to minister here in the church? How are you called to minister beyond the walls? Because to build up what happens inside the church means to go outside the walls and meet those who are hurting, to see those who need to see Jesus Christ come into a saving knowledge of him. This is all part of what we're doing here in this congregation. All of you have some very unique giftings, wonderful talents. Some of you have callings, but it's all for the building of this congregation. What's the future of this place? What's the future of the people that you come in contact with out beyond the walls, and how are they going to enhance the ministry here as we grow and as we minister to these people and they become a functioning part of the congregation here, the body of Christ here in Gales Creek. So, the unity of faith. Next is the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, we can never go wrong studying more and more about Jesus. I personally believe in my I don't know how many years it's been since I was saved. I got saved at 16, and I'm 110 now. So over the course of that time, I think I have read the Gospels. I can't tell you how many times. I've read books on Jesus how many times. And every time I find something new about our Lord. It's like the depths of God are hidden in the person of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the more we study, the more we understand, and the more the things that we're learning about him and he wants to put into our hearts so that we can function in a greater way. I believe that's what we're all called to do. To do that studying and to assimilate the lessons that God is teaching. We need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we're going to see that profoundly blessed as we all move forward. Now, the next is to the unity of to a mature man. Now, mature actually means being complete or perfected. Now, that concept of maturity is, you know, we know there are people who spend a lot of time making mischief, not growing. And so they create challenges in our lives. But the reality here is that as we grow, as we become complete in Christ, as we become perfected in Christ, we're going to see those giftings, talents, callings developed in such a way that it begins to have a greater impact. And it's like, if I were to minister to Judy here, I would minister out of the fullness of who I am, of who Jesus Christ is within me, to bless her in whatever challenge she has. Now, this is probably one of the worst jokes I ever did here, but we were talking about how it's important for us to create or for us to live in relationship with Jesus Christ. And this was Judy, I'm sorry, several years ago. Do you remember this?
It's this.
And I said, can you just imagine, you know, if we all did, created a faith, a religion, based on who we are, what would we call it? And for Judy, it would be called Judaism. You remember that now? And so the reality here is that out of the fullness of who we are, out of the maturity of who we are, how the Holy Spirit has been developed into our hearts, that relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit, we begin to pour out and care for others. And then finally, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now I started looking at this, and the word stature is actually a measure of maturity. I think that's really interesting that we have to the measure of a mature man, and then we have to the stature of that maturity. Where are we in our growth? What's going on with us? And then we take a look at the fullness of Christ, and the word fullness here, it can also mean overflowing, where everything that we're learning overflows on others. But it actually means something deeper. It actually means overflowing from the indwelling Christ in our hearts. If you remember, I talked about Colossians chapter 1, I think it's verse 27, where the mystery was the indwelling Christ, Christ in you, the Holy Spirit who comes to live in our hearts at salvation. But it actually takes a step farther. One of the things that Paul talked about in Ephesians 3, and that was what, 2 weeks ago? That we were supposed to grow up in our inner man, to be matured in our inner man, so that we would know the love of God. But that maturity of that inner man is the growth of that relationship from the indwelling Christ inside of us, where Christ and the Holy Spirit actually expands and grows. That's Christian maturity. That's spiritual growth. And that's what affects people. Let's go into verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men and by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. Now, I looked at this and I worked through this, and the whole idea of being tossed here and there by waves. And that just demonstrates the challenges that we have when we're young. If you see, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves. That whole idea of being young in the faith, not understanding what it is we're supposed to be about, not being entrenched and delving into the depths of the relationship that we have with God. We are no longer this. We're no longer children with instability in our faith. We're built up by our faith, and we're not carried away by every wind of doctrine. Now, one of the challenges, and I think I may have said this before, but I'm going to maybe make some of you upset as I say this, but I believe that our doctrine is just a snapshot of where we are. Did I say this already? No. Oh, well, let me share that then. Our doctrine is a snapshot of where we are. Over the course of my far too much education, I've taken systematic theology 7 times, passed them all, but from 7 different perspectives. And I began to realize that as I was taking every class, whether it's a Church of God theology class or a Baptist Church of God, or a Baptist Church of God, that'd be something, a Baptist doctrine, whether it's evangelical, whether it's, you know, academic and scholarly, almost not believing at all. As I looked at all those things, I began to realize that somebody came up with this and they were impassioned by it. And so they codified it and created a doctrine. But those who followed after them changed the doctrine a little bit. They may not have had the complete view either, but they made doctrine out of that as well as creating a new denomination. See, the reality is that our theology, the study of God in our hearts individually, only grows as much as we grow. And so for every set of doctrine that we have, it's just a snapshot of where the person who created that theology was. We need to put our theology on the shelf, hold on to simple biblical truths. What are the biblical truths? There's one God. He demonstrates himself in three ways, as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we come to salvation, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts. Salvation is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Period. He is our Savior. He is our Messiah. And he should be the reason we're all living. We use that as a foundation for everything. Oh, good. Seems odd to be searching for a Bible in a church. This needs to be our foundation. And although it's wonderful to have a commentary to explain what things are, we need to realize that perhaps the things that have been explained are man's wisdom. That's why we need to be in prayer, especially as we're studying the Word. We need to step back and say, okay, well, I've learned it's this. Is that really true? But we need to hold on to the things that are the basics. And that's where we come to Scripture. I have been hanging out with a lot of friends that are charismatic. And a lot of the things they believe, some are right, some are wrong. And they don't like it when I tell them that they're wrong. And they get even angrier when I show them in Scripture where they're wrong. But that's why we need to hold on to the Bible. That's why we need to read the Bible every day. I would say meditate on what the Bible says. It promises we're going to suffer. Do we flail when suffering comes, or do we embrace the Lord when suffering comes? What does Scripture say? That needs to be where the answers are. I would also add to that is that as you are studying the Word, I would sit quietly and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. There was one time that I actually was wrong, but I'm going to share that with you. At the last church, not the one I'm currently at, but the one before that, I was an associate pastor. And we were talking about the things that would help the church grow. And the senior pastor there was struggling. And he said, does anybody have any idea what God is saying here? And I said, yes. He said, oh, really? Good. What? You need a soft serve ice cream machine. I think that would help the church grow, don't you? In fact, last night, Glenn went to Dairy Queen and I had this strawberry soft serve with chunks of chocolate in it. It was so good. Oh. But the reality here is that, you know, we very easily can go off and be wrong. But as long as we're holding on to Scripture and we're understanding what God is trying to communicate through that Scripture, all of a sudden we're going to grow and we're going to be blessed. And eventually things are going to fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. Because there's greater understanding and knowledge out there that comes when we're surrendered to the Lord in prayer and studying his word regularly. So doctrine, human wisdom. Next is trickery. I looked this word up. It was great. It's like gambling against somebody who's using loaded dice. You know, there's all kinds of great things that are hidden in Scripture because the translators were trying to be solemn and respectful and reverent. But there's all kinds of things that are out there that I think are actually humorous. I mean, first of all, the whole concept of gambling against somebody who's using loaded dice, I think that expresses the concept of trickery really, really well. Don't play cards with a guy with a marked deck. Unless you have TV magic cards where they're all the ace of spades, then do that. But the reality here is there's something even greater. That humor that God is trying to communicate, because life is actually very humorous when you step back and look at it. There's that passage that talks about Jesus resurrecting Lazarus. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out, still wrapped in the bedclothes, and basically a mummy hopping out. And Jesus says, unwrap him. I think that's a funny scene. There's also something, I just saw this on Netflix, and it was a Christian archaeologist who was going through Turkey and looking at all the archaeological sites that are yet to be discovered and actually had digs there. And they were talking about this one particular place, and I forget what book of the Bible it was in, but they were talking about Paul and those with him actually came up through this canyon, and Scripture says they were attacked by robbers. Anybody have that? Know where that is off the top of your heads? No? Well, the word can be translated numerous different ways. This particular valley is actually, it goes down to the sea. And there was actually a fort on an island across from where this is. And that was an attempt to protect the citizens of Turkey from these robbers. But if you take a look at what it says in Greek, they actually call them pirates. That's a, you know, you expect all kinds of Turkish individuals hopping around on peg legs and, you know, eye patch. And, you know, it's fun that that's in Scripture. But the reality here is that was actually a very sad yet important part of life of the Turkish people. This, you know what I'm talking about? Cilicia? Okay. Anyway, this is, I just thought that was fun. There's all kinds of humorous stuff in Scripture. You just have to look for it. But at the same time, there's all kinds of things where we grow in it. And the humorous things actually hide some of the things that are trickery. And then finally, what phrase was that? Oh, yeah. By craftiness and deceitful scheming. And that's just simply purposely intending to mislead or deceive. It's for when people try to tell you things that are not true just to get you to turn away or to do something wrong, or for them to enrich themselves against you. And so the reality here is that we're no longer like children who are subject to these challenges. We have been built up in faith. We've been built up in relationship with Christ. We've been built up in such a way that we no longer are sitting there listening to these individuals who want to deceive us. How many books in the Christian bookstore are actually a challenge to us as we read them? How many authors have gone a certain way down the doctrinal path and then have written their book, only to probably find out later that that what they're writing is incomplete? Then finally, or actually verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects in him who is the head, even Christ. So we don't have the challenges of being children, of the levels of spiritual immaturity or of relational immaturity, or just the lack of knowledge. We are to grow up into everything, even into Christ who is the head. And that's part of who we are. We are the body of Christ here. You are the body of Christ here in Gales Creek. And you are the ones who will have influence on those people as you grow up into maturity and as you act out on the things that God is calling you to grow into. And so all aspects actually should be translated everything, just FYI. Okay, verse 16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, I confessed earlier that just by rolling over, I actually pulled a muscle in bed. It's the lovely part of all of us getting older. I hope none of you have that experience. I hope that's just me. On the other hand, I imagine that if I said, just getting out of bed, some of you may sound like Rice Krispies, Snap, Crackle, Pop. We all know that as our bodies begin to decay, as we get older, you know, it becomes a challenge to hold together. But the reality here is that we've grown up into the fullness, and all the joints, all the ligaments, all the muscles are all built together in the body of Christ here. And even as we are getting older, in the sunset times of our lives, and God help us to live healthy to 120, I honestly believe that we're called to help people grow, those who are new in faith, so they can come up and be part of the body of Christ. That we who are more mature, those of us who have successfully done things for years, we actually take them under our wings and we help them to grow. Now, I'm actually a little afraid right now because there was that old joke many years ago about the modern electronic church. Some of you remember this? You walk into the sanctuary and all there are pews in the back. And so people would just come and sit down on the pews. And once the pew was full, a pew would come forward and another pew would pop up. And it would fill up. And that way everybody would be seated in the front. But at 12 o'clock, an alarm would go off. And a trapdoor under the pastor would open and he would disappear. But the thing about the body of Christ here is that we need to develop a chemistry. What's the chemistry at Gales Creek? How do we work with people who are young in faith? What are we doing just even with people who've been in a faith for a long time? Are we being at peace as much as possible with everyone? The chemistry becomes a vital, vital part. Now, the last thing I want to say before the trapdoor is open is that we are being built up in love. Now, the concept of love here is agape in the Greek. And we go back to chapter 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the works of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. We are building people up so that they will be able to minister in the body of Christ. But in love, it adds a very interesting complication. The concept of love here, once again, it's agape, is actually ministering in the nature of God. Remember, John, the apostle, said in 1 John, God is love. It's not God is like love, dude. It's God is love. And so when we operate in love, we're not just operating in a need to love and care or to show compassion. We're also doing it in the nature of God, which is why the body of Christ is built up. It's totally and completely amazing to see God care so much for each one of us that as we minister to those around us, we're ministering in Him. We're ministering in His love. And we begin to see things perhaps like we haven't seen before, because we all have those aha moments. And as we live our lives and we do our things, all of a sudden I believe that God reveals His love to us. And we do have those aha moments as we live out those things that we're called to do in the body of Christ. Now, the one thing I did want to mention this morning is I felt a strong impression to pray for Pastor Teresa this morning. She is your senior pastor, and I think we need to be lifting up our senior pastor. The second thing is that I received a text message from another pastor this morning, not Jeff, but he just wanted to have me pray for him and bless him, and he prayed and blessed me. We also have a new neighbor. They moved in right next door, and I'm really, really jealous. They built the most wonderful deck on their house. I mean, it's huge. You probably could fit 50 people on it. It's huge. And then they have a very lovely barbecue. I haven't noticed it really yet, but I saw him this morning. He was really dressed up, and I was just pulling out of the driveway to head here, and I rolled the window down and said, "Where are you off to this morning?" He said, "Well, I'm going to church. I am a pastor." And I said, "Really? You're a pastor?" And I said, "So am I." And he looked and said, "Oh, brother, it's great to see you. It's great to meet you." So I put the car in park in the middle of the road. I got up, and we gave each other a hug, and we prayed together. Amen. But I felt a need to be praying for that man as well. So there are numerous pastors that are out there. Like I said, 1,500 leave the church every year, maybe. Let's go with that. That's the more conservative estimate. But the pastors need to be prayed for, especially those that are over churches. And so we need to be praying for Teresa, because she is the pastor here. So in closing this sermon, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for those who serve, for those who've taken the role of leadership. Father, protect them all from the challenges of the enemy, the wiles that the enemy has tried to put in front of us, the tricks, the deceitful scheming. Father, we pray that these things would be cleared away, that every trap that is on our path would be triggered long before we ever get there. We also pray for Pastor Teresa right now, and as she is a pastor, Lord, we pray right now that you would just bless her in every possible way. Clearly, Lord, she's a pastor, she's gifted, she's talented, she's blessed, she's called. Father, we ask for more. We just ask that you continue to build her up, that she would grow in grace and grow in knowledge and grow in your relationship to your Spirit, that she would just, not only would she be blessed, but she would bless those in this congregation. Father, for everything that she's enduring right now, especially COVID, Lord, we pray right now that she would just be touched in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, for all those in this congregation who are struggling with COVID, in Jesus' name we bind this virus. We command it to go. We pray for healing for all those who have it and all those who might have it that perhaps don't know. Father, we pray for your victory here in Gales Creek. Father, for all the pastors that I've been in contact with this morning, we pray for your blessing, your anointing, your love to be upon them as they care and they minister to those around them. Father, we want victory in those churches too. Mm-hmm. Father, we know that being in a church is not a competition. It's all about each of us being part of the body of Christ and caring for your world to see many, many, many come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we place all those pastors in your arms and your hands, and we ask, Lord, for you to grow each and every one of them. For the guy in his driveway, for the guy who texted me this morning, once again for Teresa. Father, I just, selfishly, Lord, I pray that you touch me as well. Father, we ask right now that you would continue to build us up, that we would see this worldwide revival that's coming impact and affect your pastors, your churches, and then the unsaved. And all these things, Lord, we celebrate you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
And we're going to stand, stretch our legs, and we're going to sing "It Is Truly Wonderful."
Did you hear those Rice Krispies?
He pardoned my transgressions. He sanctified my soul. He honors my confessions. Since by his blood I'm whole. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name.
Oh. Short and sweet.
Well, I got texted by Glenn. I'm in trouble. So.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to be here and to worship you, to praise you, Lord, and to have an encounter with you. Father, we ask you to just continue to touch our hearts and our minds that we truly can be your children here in this region. Father, in all things, we give you praise and glory. You're wonderful. There's none like you. You're worthy of all of our praise and adoration. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.